This is the download edition of World Business Report from the BBC. Hello, I'm Theo Leggett. He once said he didn't like the rich, and now they're paying the price. French President François Hollande has won approval for his plan to introduce a super tax on high earners. But big businesses are up in arms.
It gives a very, very nasty feeling in France for people who work, like me.
Shortwave radio was the technology that made long-distance broadcasting possible. It played a major part in the Cold War, enabling people living behind the Iron Curtain to stay in touch with the world outside. But does it have a future in the 21st century?
Shortwave has a tremendous advantage in that it's a direct connection, or almost direct, between the station and the listener.
So, are newspapers dying? Are traditional TV broadcasters living on borrowed time? Do we face a future of digital diversity or a media maelstrom where niche broadcasters fight tooth and nail for every slice of advertising revenue? Well, these are just some of the questions which we'll be looking at this week in a series of special reports on how the media landscape is changing. I've been out and about talking to new media barons, meeting with advertising gurus, fringe broadcasters and the next generation of programme makers. But we'll start with radio, and specifically shortwave radio. This was the technology which first made international broadcasting over huge distances possible. It was used for decades by the BBC World Service, the Voice of America and Radio Moscow. Nowadays, though, it's rather fallen out of fashion, with many broadcasters having drastically cut back their shortwave transmissions or abandoned them altogether. So, is it doomed to disappear altogether, or does it have a future in the digital era? Well, to find out, we sent our reporter Lucy Burton to visit Radio Romania, which still broadcasts on shortwave.
Do you recognise this sound? It's shortwave radio, and some of the biggest announcements of the 20th century were heard through the crackles and the hiss of these radio waves. Twiddling the dials, you could learn about crises, coups and the Cold War. But as technology advances, the future for this once vital method of communication looks uncertain. This is the sound of their vast Radio Liberty transmitters being demolished on the Costa Brava in Spain in 2006. They once relayed news from the United States to people living under the iron fist of the Soviet Union. But now that the Cold War is over, is there still a need for shortwave? For the last 85 years, Radio Romania has beamed its message around the world from its headquarters in Bucharest. But for how much longer? The Radio Romania building is imposing and austere, with marble floors and staircases. It's a huge building, there are 8 floors, and about 2,000 people work here. Off each of the long corridors are studios broadcasting in several different languages, including English, French, Arabic, and of course, Romanian.
Este ora 17.
Irina Adamescu is the editor in charge of the foreign languages here at Radio Romania, and we're chatting to her in the most incredible wooden panelled studio. The door is incredibly heavy and has a sort of porthole window that the team on the other side can look through. We've got 3 microphones in the middle of a table and some headphones as well. And today Irina is this side of the microphone and not telling people what to do on the other side of it. But Irina, tell me a little bit about Radio Romania International. Why is it important for the station to broadcast in so many different languages to all of these different countries?
Am constatat că există o deficiență de informare.
We've noticed that there's a lack of information, especially in Western countries, about Romania. The information is either absent or negative. It's important for us to broadcast from Bucharest about news, politics or day-to-day life. We need to show the country as it is.
Radio Romania is one of the last stations in Europe to still broadcast in shortwave. Do you ever get any listener response from people abroad listening in shortwave? And what do they say about it?
Cu ocazia împlinirii a 85 de ani de radiodifuziune.
When we celebrated 85 years of broadcasting, we asked our listeners about the future of international radio. We received about 200 letters from the areas we transmit to, and all of them asked us to keep broadcasting in shortwave.
Continuare pe unde scurte.
When I listen to shortwave, I find it very crackly and difficult to listen to. Do you think that it's something that a medium that will continue for a long time?
Cred că va mai continua și cred că va trebui să.
I believe it will continue, but we need to differentiate between the areas we use it in. Most of our listeners to our French programs are in the Maghreb area, as well as the Central African countries. For economic reasons, our African listeners won't be using the internet anytime soon, so we do need to carry on with shortwave. This isn't the case in Europe, where people listen on the internet. But I do think it's important to keep it running in case of emergencies.
But what does Irene's boss think? In his plush wood-panelled office with views of the imposing Palace of the Parliament, I asked Director General Ovidiu Michelescu whether shortwave has any distinct advantage over more modern methods of broadcasting.
For modern radio, it's very useful for different territories without any other source or channel to listen. But these short waves can be replaced with success by FM, AM, digital, satellite, internet. But don't forget that there are many isolated areas or very low developed areas around the world, in Africa, in South America, in Russia. Because if we are looking on the map who use short waves, we will see that in this territory the presence are very active. But I don't think that short waves will have a future in radio.
You don't think that there'll be a future?
No, I don't think so.
Because?
Because of increase of IT infrastructure, they are developing day by day, not from year to year or month by month. And I am sure that in a more isolated area around the world, not in a very long time, another type of access to information, to media, will arrive.
So how much longer will Radio Romania use shortwave for?
I think that in the next maximum 3 years, I think it will be history.
That's unwelcome news to enthusiasts like Glenn Hauser.
World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, primarily shortwave.
He's a radio show host from Oklahoma in the United States.
Bahrain, Brazil, Cuba, Equatorial Guinea.
His weekly show, World of Radio, takes a look at what's been happening in the world of shortwave radio.
Shortwave has a tremendous advantage in that it's a direct connection, or almost direct, between the station and the listener. There's no intermediary. It's coming right through the ionosphere, bouncing from one part of the world to another. Some countries try to block shortwave by jamming, which is somewhat effective, but they can't cut it off or interrupt it, as is the case with broadcasting via internet. It's an old technology, but it is efficient.
I suppose the question is there a commercial reason to keep shortwave going?
Apparently many shortwave or former shortwave broadcasters think there is not. Of course, it does involve an expense of running many kilowatt hours of electricity into the ionosphere, and that is an expense the stations have to pay.
So other than, I suppose, preserving this kind of once fantastic piece of broadcasting equipment, is it just perhaps enthusiasts that want to keep it going?
Well, it's the enthusiasts we know about and we hear from. Unfortunately, there is not a very effective way to do audience research on shortwave to know how many people are really out there listening and may not be, quote, enthusiasts who make their presence known.
So there could be far more people that rely on it.
Yes, and even, I'm sure this varies depending on the situation, but shortwave is a reliable backup means, if nothing else, for reaching listeners, and it should be kept available, if not in full use, by many different stations.
Do you see a day when there are no shortwave transmitters left at all?
I really doubt that. There certainly has been attrition, and a number of stations have closed down, but there are many small stations which still use shortwave. And by the way, although a number of relay sites in our North American area, or in the Americas, have closed down, unfortunately, there's been a recent development in that one has been revived, and it's the largest one in the Western Hemisphere at Okeechobee, Florida. And now they have 13 shortwave transmitters available, which could carry all kinds of stations from overseas if they would just make use of them for relays. And I wish one of those would be the BBC World Service. We miss it very much from being able to just turn on a radio and hear it.
Another factor of concern is the low level of tax collection.
As Mr. Hauser points out, shortwave gets to people and places that the internet cannot, either because of a lack of infrastructure or because governments simply block the content. But in a world of austerity and cost-cutting, radio stations are under increasing pressure to make savings where they can. And the giant masts that transmit shortwave are often the first to fall. But its supporters continue to hope that this form of broadcasting will be with us just a little bit longer.
Lucy Burton with that report from Romania. And stay tuned for more special features on the future of the media throughout the week.